team to improve to 12-0. Coach, congratulations. That was quite the atmosphere last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great playoff atmosphere, and we felt like it would be, and the weather really turned off really nice for this time of year as far as November goes.
You don't get many of those, do you, sometimes?
Big full moon, and, it was a great night for football.
It really was. Both teams fired up. Obviously, you could see that that you didn't have to do much motivating, I don't think.
I don't think either coach in our district, when games of that magnitude take place, have to do a lot of, rah-rah and that type thing. I think more of our job is to keep them organized, keep them focused on what they need to do, and make sure in practice they get the things they need to have for Friday night.
Coach, it was Blackman got the ball first, marched it downfield, score a touchdown. Then you get the ball, march it downfield, score a touchdown. We thought, well, is this going to be a repeat of last year's regular season game? You know, it was, what, in the 40s and crazy, wild game. But looks like both teams kind of settled down there toward the end. But it was still 14-10 Blackman at halftime. Something happened at halftime. Your guys came out and played a heck of a second half defensively last night.
Yeah, they did. And, I explained to people, I thought they played pretty well defensively the first half.
Yeah.
They hit us over the top on a big third down play, and that's sort of kind of, something that's happened. You know, we got to play better in third down situations. And, but I thought we were there, and the kid made a nice throw. It was a great recovery. I think it was tipped by himself, and he tipped it up, made the play, and they took it down and scored. And they did a great job the first half controlling the clock and the ball and finishing drives. And, offensively, I couldn't be too disappointed. We scored our first two and got the ball back in very little time in the first half, and gave ourselves almost a chance to kick a field goal. I just didn't feel good about it, and we thought our best option was maybe throw it up and maybe get a penalty and another shot. But, things happen, and, went in at half, and there were no magic words said. You could just tell our kids were calm and, focused. And, very few times can you sort of kind of tell that, but I felt like they were in the right spot. We had the ball coming out, and obviously the second half did go our way.
Those were long drives. I mean, we keep a time of the drive, and it seems like both Blackman and Riverdale, 5 or 6 minute drive. So, there toward the end, I mean, you had the field goal, but there toward the end of what you were talking about, end of the first half, you just kind of ran out of clock just because that's how the first half worked. The time of possession was pretty even, both teams, I thought.
Yeah, it was. Again, I thought it was the first half was extremely well played, and they simply had the ball. They finished a drive that we didn't finish, and that's sort of kind of how it came out.
But the second half, knew that you were going to get the ball coming out in the second half. You score the go-ahead touchdown, but your defense held them to three and out, and they had, two first downs in the second half. And when you can do that and take advantage of some turnovers that they had in the second half, I guess that's why your defense – not that they played poorly in the first half, but it looked like, they were at a different level in the second half.
Yeah, maybe so. I thought we challenged them for every yard they got.
Yeah.
And, Bobby did a great job. Bobby Wells, defense coordinator, and his staff did a great job. And I thought the secondary competed. Brian Coleman and Will Kreisky's guys were ready, and I thought we competed. We were physical in the secondary, and we played physical last night, and that was a pleasure to see. I hadn't thought we played consistently physical. We show signs of it, and the front seven had, but I thought we were really physical in the secondary last night and competed, and the kids, we're excited to play.
Deontay Glover, he had a block punt, two sacks, I don't know how many tackles, and we had him 5 or 6. He may have had more than that. He was just a man about the football field, and had a great, a huge pass, playing some tight end last night, completion to him. So we highlighted him as our player of the game last night. He had a great night.
Well, and that's not Deontay's first great night. I mean, Deontay's, we really felt like, as a coaching staff, Deontay would never say anything about it, but I really felt like he might be a lineman, Mr. Football candidate. He's had a great year. He's a great tight end. He's played extremely well at the outside linebacker spot. He's he's been offered by Samford, and there's several others that I think will follow suit. But and beyond that, he's a great kid. But he's very athletic, and you're right. The catch was a critical third down and long, kept a drive alive, and that may have been the key for us offensively to break us loose a little bit.
You know, get the first down there, and you go on and score. That was maybe the play of the game and the block punt. I mean, he was in the bigger plays of the game, it seemed like.
Well, we tell the kids before every game, seven or eight plays are going to determine an outcome of a game, and it just boils down that way. You can pick seven or eight key plays in every game, and obviously Deontay was involved in more than his share of them. You know, but as I tell the kids also, big game players are going to play big in big games, and he's a true example of that, along with several of our other kids.
Talking to Ron Adelot this morning, Riverdale football, a winner over Blackman, 38-14. Going into the game, there was much hype about Mathers playing in this game and didn't play in the regular season game. What kind of factor would that be? Your kids seemed to answer that challenge last night, holding him to about 48 yards, which is a season low for him rushing the football. You kind of felt like if you could contain him and keep him, I would assume that you'd have a really good chance at that football game.
Well, you know, I'm going to say a couple of things. Number one, he's got great courage. I don't think he played 100% last night. I don't know at what point, you know, he was in jeopardy pain-wise. But on the other hand, you know, I would have taken him gaining 150-ish yards, you know. But to hold him at that level, our kids, it just speaks that they, you know, they were up for the challenge. I'm sure they've heard many times that you know, they were the primary focus of a Sports Illustrated article that was printed last year about how many yards that he got against Riverdale High School. And, kids get fired up about things that, you know, sometimes we take for granted. And, you know, I think deep down they, you know, they kind of felt like the first win was a little bit tainted because he didn't play. And a lot of people told them that was the reason they won the football game. So, you know, my hat's off to them. But, again, he's a great, great player, and take nothing away from him. I know he wasn't 100%, but he'll be wreaking havoc on people in the SEC in the near future.
Yeah. I want to talk about your fullback, Adam Davenport. I say every time that we do a Riverdale game, he's the guy that gets the carry on those dirty yards. He gets those 1-2 yard bangers to get a first down or whatever. But last night, the offensive line blocked so well for him, and he had some gaping holes. He had some of the longest runs I've seen him have all year this year last night, and he ran the football really well for you, Adam Davenport.
Well, I think last year he sort of kind of came out. We'd swap positions. I think he kind of came out of nowhere last year. This year he's been the focal point of several defenses, as if maybe all of them. I don't, you know. But the last 5 or 6 weeks, Adam has run extremely hard. And as you said, his yards are not real. You know, they're not pretty yards. They're not out there with tall sweeps and that type of thing. So I thought he played extremely well. I thought he played big last night, as did Rico Odom, Dylan Woodruff, Marcel Soto on the offensive side. And I thought the offensive line, we hadn't graded them out yet, but I thought they did do some great things for us, and we'll see where that all goes as far as we grade them out. But offensively we were consistent. We took care of the football. We had one bad pitch down on the goal line that almost cost us. But other than that, I thought we clicked pretty well.
Saw Marcellus get a couple of carries and a couple of catches. So he's kind of worked himself back into the mix a little bit running the football
team. Well, that was per, you know, an MCL injury, that really hobbled him, especially, you know, it was, I believe it was Laverne week, and that was before we played Blackman. So, you know, we had some kids that were hobbled. They weren't out, but they were hobbled. And, you know, it's a hard enough game to play 100%. But when you're, you know, playing it less than that, then it does make it extremely difficult. So, we you know, health-wise, we're in pretty good shape right now.
Well, I was going to ask you that. You know, we did see Glover go out. There was a string there in the third quarter where just after every play, somebody went down. I think Blackman had three people go down, including Mathers and Brant Luker, but Deontay Glover kind of came out during that time. He didn't come back, but I suspect that was just because you had the lead and didn't want to risk any further injury. What's going on with him?
Well, they think it's a quad bruise. He had a little bit of that in practice, so, you know, they don't tell me a lot of things. But
they just keep it from you.
We feel like he's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, if we came out of a physical game like that, and that's all we showed for it, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Much has been said about District 7 AAA and about how tough 7 AAA is, and a lot of teams, I mean, you have to play back through 7 AAA, play the number two team there in Blackman to continue your playoff run. Now you're the lone representative of District 7 AAA with Siegel falling last night to Mount Juliet in a heartbreaker, but how does that prepare you going further, going on here when the state's Final Eight?
Well, you know, it could be sort of one of those things where it forks two directions. Number one is I don't think we're going to see another team as physical as the teams we see in our region now or our district. But, you know, we're going to see teams that do things a little bit differently. They, you know, we may see more finesse teams, and it's going to, you know, people – will probably try to spread us more. Traditionally, is what you see. You know, playing physical like that, what concerns me is, you know, are we beat up? Are we mentally beat up? That type of thing. But, you know, that's just part of it. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with it and move on.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing you can do about it now. We'll keep playing, right?
That's right. That's right.
Oak Ridge comes to your place. And if I'm not mistaken, Oak Ridge was the team that handed you your last loss last year in the playoffs. Does that weigh on the mind of any of the Warriors?
Well, you know, I hope so. I hope so. They came into Tomahawk, and they pretty much handed us our head, and then, you know, said a couple of things in the paper that I thought challenged our kids, that we've kind of lived on those quotes, and I don't mind saying that. I mean, you know, when people challenge the heart and how much heart you got, and you know, I think our kids have responded. But they get an opportunity to go against the team that really challenged them and kind of called them out last year about laying down on them. And you know, I would be very disappointed if we didn't come out and play very hard next week.
A lot of seven seeds in 6A football in the playoffs advance, and that they were one of those. They come out of a pretty tough district, but Wildcats, what do you know about them? What do they do? Do you know much?
Well, you know, Coach Blade, you know, he's probably a little bit more of a defensive guy, even though he's an offensive guy as well. I think he runs, you know, both sides of the ball, but they're going to be physical defensively. They'll have a great scheme, and offensively they're going to throw it a little bit, but primarily they're spreading you to run, and they got their quarterback back, and he's going to make good decisions. And you know, we look for another great football game, and you know, again, I think our kids will respond, and we'll play hard. That's my desire from this point on, that we just play well every Friday night. We just play up to our standard and our potential.
Well, it's a three-game football season right now, isn't it?
Well, actually, in a coach's eyes, it's a one game.
Well, sure.
You know, we're going to take them one at a time, and, you know, we got to have this one to play 14, and, you know, and our focus is on Oak Ridge.
The teams left in 6A, Maryville, Sevier County, Oak Ridge, Brentwood, another one of those seven seeds, and Ron Crawford seems to get that playoff thing done. Whitehaven and White Station, which beat Brighton, which you played during the regular season, they went in as a two seed and got beat by seven. So 6A playoff thing is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Well, you know, and I think that just shows you the seeds are kind of, I'm not going to say a joke, but they probably are. You know, again, when you make teams automatically because they win a district or come in second, first and second seeds or whatever they do with all that, I'm not even sure. I don't pay attention to all that. I look at brackets. You know, there's flaws in the system, and, you know, seven seeds, you know, it doesn't mean much to me. It's how good a football team you have. Teams that come out of tougher districts are traditionally going to be better. You know, I think probably the schedule in our district chewed up a few people, and I still feel like that there probably should be a team or two left in our district over there. And I heard last night that Siegel just had some unfortunate circumstances happen at the end, or they would have won. And my hat's off to them, the great year that Greg did. You know, and then obviously we had to play, turn back and play Blackman. One of us had to lose. You know, I was shocked at the Smyrna score. So You know, but that's playoff football.
Yeah.
And it's like I tell the kids, it's, you know, it's not subjective. It's objective. Whatever shows on that scoreboard is going to mean who moves on.
If you do the bracket differently, you may have different people playing, you know, at this point. It's just because this is the way the bracket is developed and this is who you have to play. That's kind of what you were saying. You're concerned about who's in your bracket and who you got next.
Yeah, that's for Tom Kreger to worry about going through and seeing who plays who and who's seated where. You know, our job as a coach is to see, you know, we're going to get dealt a hand and we've got to play that hand. And, you know, you can complain and gripe or be happy or whatever, but the bottom line is you got to play on Friday nights.
Still a possibility. I mean, you're going to host this game, you win this game. You got to move on, and I know that you're concerned about that right now. But getting to the point, I hope Riverdale fans will be there next Friday night. They have a great crowd last night. You know, they had a few little problems with the national anthem, and the people in the stands started to sing. You know, so I mean, it was just really a neat atmosphere.
Well, I heard that one. But,
The microphone didn't work downstairs for the choir, so I mean, the people in the stands erupted in the national anthem, which was pretty neat. But that 12th man can make a difference, and,
well,
and that's, you need it.
And you know, you said, well, with the Riverdale fans, absolutely, Riverdale fans will be out next week. You know, and the true Riverdale fans will be out next week, and they've been great all year. I mean, they've been there and they supported us, and you know, and my hope again and desire is our kids play up to potential and just play hard, you know, and I hope they do that for their teammates and, you know, and for their team and for their school and the community. So you know, that's you know, when we get to this point, we're quality enough that I think we can win this football game without seeing a lot of film on Oak Ridge. It's just, you know, you just want to play well and protect the football.
Let's have some Wildcat for dinner next Friday and come back here for breakfast next Saturday.
That sounds great, man.
We'll be there. All right, Coach. Thank you. Ron Adelot joining us this morning. His team takes on Oak Ridge next Friday night in the quarterfinals of 6A playoff football. When we come back, we're going